Time for Thinking Real Estate.
Very, very fine house.
With the Schlecky family. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I'm here.
That's good. Always a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And we're here.
What's going on?
Well, it's
sell
time
me
to
a house.
Real estate.
Sell me
okay.
a house.
I gotta find one. They're hard to find.
Yeah.
So, I got a couple of good topics that I've had to deal with lately. One is the uncapping statute. Another one is title insurance. Bill, what do you want to talk about?
Well, first order of business is I wanted to finish up the conversation from last week regarding CERA, C-E-R-A, and any tenant or any landlord that is looking for rent assistance because the tenant is unable to pay rent or utilities as a result of COVID-19 and loss of job. All you have to do is go to the MSHDA, MSHDA site, or plug in CERA, C-E-R-A, excuse me, which is a COVID emergency rent, was it? Yeah, COVID emergency rental assistance program. And there's an online application. As I started to talk about last week, both landlords and tenants can file applications. And this, if the landlord's going to file, what the landlord and tenant ought to be doing is conversing and cooperating in order to be able to get the assistance. So there is financial assistance for tenants and landlords for the tenant to obtain funding to pay rent that the tenant is unable to pay as a result of the consequences of COVID-19. That took effect March 15th. There's another federal law that took effect today, or that is taking effect today, and it's an amendment or it's an addition to the federal Fair Credit Protection Act, Collection Protection Act, and what it provides now, and any landlord who is listening to this call, it applies if you are collecting the debt of another. So if you're an individual landlord, you own the property individually, this act likely does not apply to you because you're not collecting a debt for another in the event the tenant does not pay rent. But for every landlord that's using an attorney, the attorney must know. For every landlord where the landlord, as an individual, but owns the property in an LLC or a corporation, my opinion is that they are collecting the debt for another when they file an eviction notice to collect rent. Now, understand, this doesn't apply if you're evicting a tenant because the lease is terminated. You know, the term is up. Or for a continuing health hazard, anything other than non-payment of rent. But if it's non-payment of rent, every landlord listening to this ought to perk their ears up. And now when you send out a 7-day notice to terminate tenancy, what you want to do is you want to include a separate notice. And I would do it as a separate notice since the SCAO, the form for 7-day notice to quit or 7-day notice to terminate doesn't really have the room on it. And so what you want to do is you want to add language that I just had it up here in front of me. Hold on. Yeah, here we go. Sample disclosure language. Because remember, the CDC has issued a moratorium on evictions, which I think now extends until December 31. And so this amendment to the Fair
The amendment goes till December 31?
Yeah, CDC, I think it goes until December 31, the moratorium.
My God.
It originally went to July 31, but it may go longer. We can double check on that, but that's not the point of this conversation. This conversation is, so long as that's in effect, what the landlord needs to do is, when the landlord sends out the eviction notice, or if no eviction notice is necessary, they file a complaint in the district court. This act now requires that there be disclosure language, and here are a couple of paragraphs, to separate ones that can be used by the landlord or by the attorney representing the landlord. And this takes effect today. Quote, because of the global COVID-19 pandemic, you may be eligible for temporary protection from eviction under federal law. Learn the steps you should take now, visit, and then it's the website, or call a housing counselor at, and then the phone number. The other suggested language in the guidance from the feds is, quote, because of the global COVID-19 pandemic, you may be eligible for temporary protection from eviction under the laws of your state, territory, locality, or tribal area, or under federal law. Learn the steps you should take now, visit, and then again, the website, or call a housing counselor at, and the phone number. So anybody that wants that disclosure language, you can, Laura, how can they contact you? And I can send them that language. Or you can simply go to the Debt Collection Practices Act or Debt Collection COVID-19 Interim Final Rule, and you can come up with this.
Or they could call me and I'll track it down from you.
All right, that's fine.
The number will be at the end of the show, but I can give it now, 780-3800.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be happy to send that sample language out. Yeah, I'll send the guidance as well, or the interim final rule.
Cool.
All right, so that just covers the follow-up to last week's conversation. All right, you wanted to talk about what?
Either the uncapping statute or title insurance. Take your pick.
No, you take your pick. What do you want? What do you want to know about either?
Well, let's talk about uncapping statute then.
All right. What about it?
At what point does, and I get this a lot, at what point does the uncapping of taxable value, everybody says their taxes keep increasing. Well, your taxable value can increase the rate of inflation or 5%, whichever is lower. We have not had a 5% inflation rate, so it's usually the rate of inflation. I don't remember what this last year's rate of inflation was. The year before, I think, was 1.4%. And that's what your taxes can go up. Now, the other way your taxable value can go up, the other way your taxes go up is if a millage got voted in, or a millage such as in the city of Jackson, we have our act, 345? I might have those numbers wrong, but anyhow, that's our pension plan. Long ago, a millage was passed that can fluctuate so that it's funded. In about 6 years or 7 years, that drops off or drops down a lot. So we'll see taxes go down in the city, but that's how taxes go up. But let's talk about the uncapping. When we sell a house or when we do a major renovation, are the two times that uncapping can happen. Is there any other times that I'm not thinking of, Bill?
No, those are the two. One is a transfer of more than 50% of the beneficial interest in the property. In other words, it doesn't have to be a complete transfer. If the property is held by an LLC, for example, and more than 50% of the LLC membership interests are transferred, that triggers an uncapping of the real estate, of the value of the real estate. But most commonly, for most of the people who are listening, it happens upon the sale of the residence, or they're buying a residence. I mean, this is one of the factors that goes into deciding whether or not you're going to sell your property. If you sell, I mean, right now, in Jackson, for example, and locations other than downtown urban areas, I mean, the market is red hot. I mean, absolutely red hot. And one reason it's red hot is not only low mortgage rates, but also the fact that new construction. I mean, lumber, I have a client in mid-Michigan that's one of the largest contractors, and they also own a lumber company along with it. And I just got the word yesterday that lumber prices have tripled since last year. I mean, that's huge. And then I just read an article yesterday or the day before that the average price of a house has increased 36 grand as a result of the increased material cost. So,
even for new construction?
Yeah, for new construction. Yeah. So,
does it matter how big the house is?
Yeah, this is the average house. Whatever the average house is what they're talking about. And I don't know what size. I don't know what size that would be, Laura. Obviously, if the house is larger, the increase in price is greater than 36 grand. If it's a house which is smaller than the average house, then it's less than 36 grand. But the average house costs now 36 grand more this year simply because of material costs. And that's if you can find a contractor that's actually available to build the house. The contractors I represent, they're already scheduled out to the end of this year. you're lucky to find a contractor, even for a remodeling job, to come in and be able to do that before next year. It's just astounding what's going on. So anyway, the point here is that on the one hand, it's great for someone who says, you know, I'm going to retire, or I want to move, or I want to get a larger house, or I want to downsize, whatever it is. It's great because they're going to get a good price right now the way the market is, right? The downside is when they buy a house, now that house's taxable value is going to go up because the uncapping occurs in the year following sale. So anytime you have a sale now in 2021, that uncapping is going to occur, and it's going to show up in your taxes in 2022.
And they base it on fair market value, so I'm wondering if the...
There's a difference between fair market value and true cash value. They're supposed to be somewhat equivalent, but fair market value in what you consider to be fair market value is not necessarily, quote, true cash value, and that's what happens. The true cash value goes up, presumably as a result of inflation, and that inflation may be larger than the normal rate of inflation simply because real property is a hot commodity right now.